Hello, my name is Kenny, and I'm part of the Data Science Cohort 3. And my two projects are my R-Shiny app, which dealt with FEMA, and then my capstone, which was movie predictions, basically predicting movie reviews.
Interesting. I'm really excited to hear about that and also the project with FEMA. But before we jump into your projects, could you catch me up to just what were you doing in life before you joined this cohort? Why did you decide to jump into the National Software School?
Well, I was working with United Health Group, working with insurance claims and finding refunds for that. And then I kind of like dabbed my toes in like SQL. And I was like the basic coding I learned. And then from there, I just started to learn like Python and stuff like that. But with learning on your own with Python, it was very difficult for me. Even though I had like DataCamp, the issue was that it was just basically just copying what the person did in the video. And there wasn't really like any instructions or, yeah, you could have Googled it. But even then, like it just never really made sense to me. And so that's why I wanted something that focused more on coding, but not like a full blown degree. But yeah, so like I just wanted to focus on my coding skills. And that's the reason why I chose Nashville Software School. And on top of that, what really made me like go there is because of the GI Bill. Nashville Software School is one of the first within Nashville, Tennessee, that would provide the GI Bill for veterans.
That's wonderful that you're able to use that. And so thank you so much for your service. And we're really glad you're able to use the GI Bill to continue on with your experiences and education. And congrats on making it 9 months later. You finish. Yeah. Successfully, and we're here, and now I'm excited to hear about your project. So whichever one you want to start with, I would love to hear a little bit about what it is and, of course, how you built it.
So the R-Shiny app was just something I wanted to build for my family members because at the time I just really thought about them. And to provide a little context, my family lives out in California. So they see a lot of forest fires and they've been evacuated numerous of times. And I always try to convince them to move over here to Tennessee, even though we have tornadoes, but still is like, I feel like it's worse there in California. So I made my project on areas that were funded by FEMA, but at the same time, how much property damage do you see within the area? So the goal of it was just to help the users to decide on which areas to move to on in terms of disasters.
Tell me more about how you built it and sort of the tech behind it.
So the way that I went about building it was, I did have to Google a lot only because I was fairly new to R. And because like prior to the boot camp, I did learn a little bit Python on my own. But with the R-Shiny app, I had to basically look at designs on how to build like a map so that how would the users be able to consume the data. So like mainly I wanted them to be able to navigate each different state. So for example, like I wanted to make sure that when they selected California, it would move to the map of California showing the statewide. It may not make sense now, but when you're selecting the filters, all it will do, it will just like select the filter and not move to the state. So that was one of the things I wanted to incorporate within my application. And also some other things is grabbing the data from the FEMA website. So not actually downloading the file so that it's a dynamic data. So it's always constantly updating as time goes on. And another thing I wanted to incorporate was really difficult, but I felt like I spent too much time on it, was to incorporate a live weather feed within my application. And so like once you open it up, you could see like if it's raining within the area or if it's severe storms coming towards you, but it's not dynamic. So once you open it up, it's a snapshot of when you do open it up. So that was something that I wanted to incorporate in my application as well.
That's really interesting. And I also, I heard you say that you might have worked on it a little more than you had planned. And I feel like that happens quite often with folks. And that makes sense, though, because you get really invested and you want to make it as good as you can. And a lot of times I've even heard that graduates will continue working on their capstones even after they graduate. So I'm excited to see how it continues to develop more. So let's go to your other project. Tell me more about that one and how you built it.
So the movie predictions was something I was really excited about, only because I do love movies and I pay attention to movie reviews. So this was something that I wanted to be able to build for my use, but also like build for other users to perhaps utilize. And some of the first things that I thought about, so I was going to be predicting movie reviews. So that's going to require a little bit of machine learning. So with that being said, I would have to select certain variables, and one of those variables being director statistics. So really, I just had to go out and gather some data, and the real main data source is from IMDb. And then from there, I just started transforming the data geared only towards like directors. So such people such as Christopher Nolan would have like a very large impact in the movie. And so the model did fairly well. I did present it to my cohort, and for the movie of Lovebirds, I think it predicted like a 5.7, and on IMDb, it gave it like a 6. So it was fairly close. There were some movies that were off. Some of the things that I had to go into to building it was I used a model called XGBoost. XGBoost is some of the previous projects that I've used it for, and I just seen a lot of benefit from it. So for the Cago project and the Big G project, what really helped me out with my predictions there. And then after I built the model and selected my variables, I had to do a portion of the project of interpretability. Basically, sometimes when you have these variables and you put it into the model, it's almost as if it's going to a black box and it's spitting out these predictions, and you don't really know what's going on in there. So with interpretability, I used SHAP. So basically SHAP gave us like a graph of like what's the most important variable, what variables are dependent on other variables, and just kind of like see what's going on within that black box and see how it spits out its results.
It's so fun to hear you describe all of the different pieces to this. And I'm curious, when you compare both of the projects and you also reflect back on your life experiences that you've had leading up to now, I'm curious what you think the future holds. What are you aiming for next? What's sort of the type of job you're looking for? What's the next for you?
I think that at the end of the road is the data scientist role. You know, for me, it doesn't necessarily have to be a data scientist role, but I would like to be like an expert within every realm of the job market. What I mean, like data scientist, data analyst, data engineer. I just want to be the person that's like skilled within that entire profession. Basically a master at it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I love that attitude and I love that energy you've got. And I'm excited. We're all excited to see where you land next.
All right. Thanks, Clark.